All right, welcome to the Freedom Fiends Live. It is our live Sunday show. It is 6/9/2013. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
I'm good. I just had a soda incident, but the EPA came in and issued citations and had me clean up the soda on my bedroom floor that I spilled.
Good. Because I don't think you would have cleaned it up without that, without the government interfering.
I mean, nobody does anything without being told to do it, because people just aren't smart enough to organize their own lives.
I know, it's just so sad that we have to have it, but it's necessary.
Yep, FEMA came in, they brought a crew, they came into my windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America, which is where I'm broadcasting from. Where are you coming from there, Nima?
Ah, yes, I'm down in Austin, Texas, the great state of Texas, but trying to be free and ignore it anyway.
Yes, I'm coming actually from beautiful, sunny downtown Casper, which is me making fun of Gary Owens. And Gary Owens wasn't even cool or hip in the 60s when he was trying to be cool and hip. He was square,
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is, which is what, since I'm about 20 years older than you, I say that when you talk about the hippin' and the hoppin' and the popular music, and then you say that when I talk about something from the 70s. You're like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
You don't know
about your time spent in your rock musical band.
As my dad says, yeah. Or, when I talk about Richard Nixon saying, "Suck it to me, baby."
That's creepy.
He said it on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. They actually imitate that. Jack imitates that on 30 Rock. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was something they picked up when they were spying on him. No.
I don't care if the government spies on me. We're going to get into why that's silly here. We welcome our new stations, we have two new stations today, two new affiliates for the Freedom Fiends, two new brave people willing to move boldly into the future and get away from the crying old guys who run talk radio right now.
It's brave new radio.
Yes. We would like to welcome KBFS, 1450 AM. And KYDT 103 FM, which are the Country Twins in Sundance, Wyoming, and Belfouche, South Dakota. Now, I looked up the pronunciation of Belfouche on YouTube and found four different pronunciations. So I figured, there's one thing that governments are good at, and it's knowing how to pronounce their name. So I called the city hall in Belfouche and said,
good job.
How do you pronounce it? Yeah, I did what a reporter would do when you were...
You could have also called the Chamber of Commerce if you wanted to bypass the state.
Yeah. But they said it's Belfouche. And I said, yep, really? Okay. And if anyone, Belfouche. I love the name, which is, it's a cool, it's French word.
It's pretty. It rolls off your tongue. Belfouche.
It means the beautiful forks. And if I pronounce that wrong, blame your government. You can call, what is that thing on Entourage where they try to buy guns? It's California. Someone's threatening their lives. They try to buy guns and they find out there's a waiting period. And the guy behind the counter, they're like, but we're in trouble now. And the guy behind the counter's like, call your government. But the stations are great. They're actually, this is a really cool example of the market. They are not just talk radio. They are the rare station that plays music and has a few talk stations. They're actually country music stations. They play NASCAR reports, sports reports, whole bunch of cool stuff. And then they also have a few talk shows. And I think we're replacing G. Gordon Liddy there.
Although that means we're replacing Peter Schiff, doesn't it? Isn't G. Gordon Liddy?
No.
Peter Schiff inherited his old show.
Not everywhere. But maybe we're not replacing him. But there's not a lot of shows on there. But we are not a lot of talk shows. So it's special to be on there. So... Okay. And this is a 25,000-watt flamethrower, as they say in the biz, which is scorching the earth with fiendly truth and goodness. And it's FM, so our music bumps will sound better. And we like music. Now, here's the cities covered by these two stations. Spearfish, Sturgis, Rapid City, which are all in South Dakota. Hewlett, Wyoming, Beast Lick, Wyoming, Gillette, Sundance, Newcastle, Moulin Labe, Wyoming, Devil's Tower, Crook County, Weston County, Campbell County, Black Hills, up into Montana. Yeah, it's great, man. I am really happy.
Beast Lick is one of my favorite places to visit.
That's our joke. That's actually our our long-running version of Bum F Egypt, we say, is Beast Lick, Wyoming. I was watching my cats clean each other one day, but yeah. But we're really happy to be on the radio in Wyoming, because I'm in Wyoming, and you used to live in Wyoming, and Wyoming's the best place in the country, and we moved here from horrible status places to live in the relatively free states of Wyoming.
Well, you know, you weren't born there, and you chose to live there, and that's kind of cool, man.
That's like, the market.
You actually did research and like had, you know, a cost benefit analysis for Wyoming and some other states to figure out where you could go to be free, and then you emigrated from, you know, occupied territory in Cali.
Yeah,
and,
which is weird.
Wyoming's where you went.
A lot of places, you know, if you're not from there, they're like, you're not from here, and they don't like it. But really, moving to somewhere and choosing it, really, you kind of have more. I wouldn't say ownership of it, but, you know, more invested in it than someone who just was born somewhere and never bothered to check out other places and leave.
It was a choice. It was a choice, not a random happy accident.
Yep.
Although if you're old enough and you've been in a place for a long time, then that's a choice too, I suppose, because you didn't say, I want to move away from Wyoming because there's not enough people out here. There's not enough government. So I'm going to go to L.A. and try to be an actress.
Yeah, my dad's 91 and lives, you know, he's traveled, he's been to England, he's been to California a couple times, but he has largely not gone more than 30 miles from his home birthplace, you know, in 91 years. He's probably been away from that county, you know, maybe a month or two out of that 91 years.
Hmm. Yeah, man, not me. I move every year. Every year it's something new. Although maybe I'll settle down soon. I got a baby on the way.
Yay.
My wife's going to pop one out in December. So, maybe we'll be stuck here in Austin. Although Austin is not a bad place to be stuck. So
yeah, it's the capital of weird in the other cowboy state. Wyoming is the cowboy state, but, a lot of people think of Texas as the cowboy state, but Wyoming is actually called the cowboy state.
I don't know. I saw lots more cowboys in Wyoming than I've seen in Texas. But I've always lived in the urban areas in Texas.
Well,
you know? I've never lived in West Texas or anything like that. So
I think Texas's idea as a cowboy state is based more on how it used to be. And
yeah,
I mean, you probably see more cowboy hats in Texas, but you actually see more cowboys in Wyoming who don't actually usually wear cowboy hats. They're usually wearing, you know, some kind of hat, and they're not usually on horses now. They're usually on four-wheeled ATV vehicles patrolling their thousands of acres of ranch.
With the shotgun scabbard on the side. Yeah. Now that's dope right there.
Don't you make shotgun scabbards?
I made one for my back. I made a back scabbard so I could be like the dude in Red Dead Redemption. It's pretty dope. I made it out of Kydex. I made it because nobody really sold one. I guess some people sold a leather one that was like $300, and I was like, nah, I'll make my own out of Kydex for $20. And it turned out all right. It's functional. It's not the prettiest thing in the world, but it's not ugly either. But, you know, where am I going to open carry a shotgun at? I haven't figured that part out yet.
Well, you could have in California until Ronald Reagan outlawed open carry in California. It's kind of interesting that, you know, I understand the idea of conservatism, but a lot of people who use that banner on themselves aren't conservative because, first of all, they're extremely pro-war on drugs, and they're extremely pro-war, which are both, even if you don't look at the ethical standpoint, they're both very economically unconservative.
Right.
And people always want to go back to the way things used to be, and they usually cite Reagan. But what did Reagan do that was unconservative other than outlawing open carry in California as governor?
Well, he got some things right, and talk a big talk. I mean, he sent troops into, Beirut? But then he actually pulled them out when he realized it wasn't working and it was a bad move. So I guess that was good on Reagan. But in general, the size and scope of the government increased vastly under Reagan, and so did the drug war. Like you said, that's not really a conservative position at all because it increases the size of the government and it increases government power and surveillance on the people. I mean, wasn't it his wife that went to downtown L.A. with a tank?
South Central in a tank.
South Central in a tank. Yeah.
Yep. And a lot of gun owners are like, well, that's good. Those people in the ghetto should be rounded up and taken to an island and nuked for having drugs. But you know what? If you support that kind of war on drugs, you might as well just throw your guns away now because supporting the war on drugs arms the police state that is going to be the people that come to take away your guns. And you could say, well, they'll get them when they get them out of my cold, dead hands. No, they'll get them out of your cold, warm hands. you know, after they get a sharpshooter to get you from a mile away. But more likely, you know, when people talk about, well, there's going to be an American Revolution too, but, you know, really it'd be more like 1,000 ruby ridges and nobody wins in that. You know, what would really happen is they'd just find out when you're going to the dentist or the doctor, they'd pull you over with a bunch of cop cars, take your keys, take your, you know, and say, we're going to go to your house and take your guns. They're not going to, they're not going to let you be where the armed standoff is going to be. They'll get you coming out of the post office. You know, they'll put metal detectors in the post office, in government buildings. They'll increase the government to the point where you can't really function in society without going into government buildings. And then they'll just take your guns while you're in there disarmed, while your gun's out in your car. So if you support the war on drugs, you are supporting you being disarmed in a few years.
Yeah.
Marinate on that.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and broaden it out even further and say, you know, it's the principal thing. That's why you can say something like that. It's because once society or people allow a state or a government to decide what products they can own and buy, to decide what they can trade and can't trade between voluntary consenting adults, then that means that they can do it with anything. You know, it's at that point the argument doesn't become, well, can the government regulate all of the economy or any of the economy? And it becomes, what should the government regulate? What should the government outlaw and ban and come and take from your house? And then it becomes open to anything that politicians decide at any particular moment because it's in fashion at the time. And it becomes this horrible mob rule thing to where if something happens like Sandy Hook, then all of a sudden the government wants to punish everybody who didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any guns. I lost my guns in a voting accident. At least that's what I'm saying in public. Now, that comes from on a lot of gun forums. People say, oh, I don't have any. The smart people say, when people say, what kind of guns do you have? They say, oh, I lost my guns in a voting accident. But we say we lost our guns in a voting accident. Now, explain that.
It's your comment. Why don't you explain it? No. Okay, I'll explain it. So voting accident. Yeah, man. I mean, that's the root of it. You're giving – when you vote, you're basically praying to the god of the state. You're kicking God off of the throne, and you're giving the state the power to decide what happens not only in your life but in the lives of your neighbors, even your neighbors that voted opposite of how you voted. So yeah, voting accident. It's a clever play on words because, you know, voting. But that's the essence. It's if you are worried about the state taking away your weapons, then don't participate in that state system anymore, right?
But
I mean,
Nima.
That's the root. But Nima, we're not playing that game. We'll be back.
We'll have more
right after we take this trip to the market.
We'll have more. But Nima, when we get back.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's BolaVPN at BolehVPN.net.
Welcome back. This is the Freedom Fiends with Michael W. Dean and Nima Vidati. How you doing there, Nima Vidati?
Yo, I'm doing all right. I'm a little cranky. Woke up to Status saying, oh, I just love the government. People with Stockholm syndrome that are delusional and have boring lives.
Well, Nima, if you've got nothing to hide, why do you care if they read your emails and listen to your phone calls?
Well, I'm not a voyeur or voyeur or however they say it in French.
You don't
like people watching my private things and listening to my private things happening, man.
You don't want Eric Holder in your bedroom?
No, I don't want Barack Obama watching me.
There's a line in a song by Leonard Cohen. It says, the rich will have their cameras in the bedrooms of the poor.
Well, okay, so that's it. People say nothing to hide. Well, my Facebook friend Charles Evans, who's a very astute guy, I think he does work for the Mises Institute or is some way involved with them. And here's what he posted on his Facebook. He says, question. And you know, it's kind of backwards. It's got the multiple choice, and then the question is after this. So A, developing a patentable invention. B, adultery. C, going to a job interview while you're currently employed. D, preparing a competitive bid. And then the actual question would have been, those are actions that aren't illegal, but you would have a legitimate stake in keeping those actions private. So you can have things to hide, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, I guess adultery is, but you don't know what the situation is. You know, developing some kind of trade secrets or patentable invention, you don't want your competition getting a hold of that. I mean, I could just imagine there being a scandal of some NSA goons out there who are listening in on things, just decide to sell, you know, IP, you know, patentable information with companies that compete with the person they gleaned it from. Preparing a competitive bid, going to a job interview. There's so many things out there in the world that are completely legitimate and don't harm anybody that you don't want anybody else talking about or knowing except for the person you've tapped to listen to it.
Well, the first thing is none of this is news. I mean, it's, I guess somebody leaked some PowerPoint slides, but it's not news, man, that the government is spying on you.
It's news that it's news, Michael. That's why it's news.
That's true.
It's news that everybody's talking about it because, you know, all of us or a lot of us in the alternative media have been saying this for years, and even not in the alternative media, in hip-hop culture, in rap, there's so many lines out there like people getting life just for talking on the phone. There's lines talking about how the government can get you on conspiracy if they have no real evidence. They can get you because you had a phone conversation. Now, how much of a pre-crime thought crime action is that for the state to do, to just throw you in prison because you had a conversation about committing a potential quote crime, which is usually victimless? It's ridiculous. And so certain classes and groups of people have known about this for a long time, but it's news that this is the national conversation now. You know, people in the New York Times are writing about it. Once Glenn Greenwald broke it with the actual evidence, because there's a big difference between knowing in your heart something that seems obvious because you can connect the dots and actually having the internal PowerPoint presentation about the spying on everybody all the time. You know, that's a huge leap, and it makes people who are regular Joes go, oh wow, I didn't know that, because I'm usually ignorant.
Well, I have two thoughts on this. One is, I'm always dismayed that people are far more interested in crowing about the problem than doing anything about the solution. And about 6 months ago, people were back when I was on Facebook before I left it. There was a meme that I shared that was something about how they were, you know, they just finished phase 4 of building this giant data center in Utah to collect everyone's phone calls for the government.
Which is supposed to be finished this fall, I think.
You know what's interesting too is that was pitched for Wyoming, and the governor was saying, yes, we're going to bring all these jobs here by bringing this data center, and Wyoming is perfect because the climate is such that you won't need as much cooling and blah, blah, blah. And they didn't even talk about what the data center was for. But do you remember that when you were a news reporter here talking about bringing a data center to Wyoming? That was it. They brought it to Utah instead.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about the Utah data center is it's one of a whole network. It's just the biggest one. And it's the data storage site. And I think there's going to be another place in North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken, that will actually have a supercomputer in it that's the size of a warehouse that will have apparently the power to sift through all the data and figure out what's relevant and what's not and what to save.
Okay,
and
what now not. You actually just did what I was going to complain about, which is, conflict is the essence of drama. We love each other like brothers, whatever. And it's all good. But what I was going to say is I'm really dismayed by, and we'll talk about what I'm dismayed about when we come back. How's that for a teaser? You'll hear why I'm mad at Nima and the world when we come back from the market.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location outside of Beast Lick, Wyoming. How you doing there, Nima Vidati?
Ah, doing okay, okay. I'm angry, which is good for talk radio, it so is. I guess I'm doing well, yeah.
Oh, but Nima, you need to be quiet and mellow and sweet like NPR. This is how they talk on NPR.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay. I will put on my NPR filter. I've just flipped the switch. So, Michael, you had some things that you wanted to say to us.
Yes. I want to talk about how I'm disappointed with two aspects of society. And one is that where the heck is the anti-war left and the pro-privacy left? You know, the stuff that's going on right now. If it were Bush doing it, and I'm not sticking up for Bush, he was not a good leader even by status standpoints, and he wasn't a good Republican, and he sure wasn't a conservative. But, where are the people that were screaming in the streets at George W. Bush for being a warmonger now that Obama is being George Bush on steroids? There's not a peep, man. It's crickets. I mean, I guess you got Code Pink screaming at the president, which is kind of cool. I like it. But I don't like them because they're anti-gun. But anyway, where is the anti-war left in mass? And more recently, where is the pro-privacy left? You know, that's always been a banner of the left of we believe in civil liberties. You know, where other than the ACL, when the ACLU is the best the left can offer, something's wrong, man, because where are the people who should be screaming? Now, instead, they're doing things like this Twitter page, Nothing to Hide. And I want to get into some of that. But first, I want to say I'm really upset that people are more into complaining about the problem than dealing with the solution. And a perfect example is I posted something a bunch of months ago back when I was on Facebook, before I left Facebook, about how the government is building this, you know, finishing this data center to spy on all your calls. And it got like 700 shares. Then I posted a tutorial we did on the Freedom Fiends blog, which you can get to by going to Freedom, second word, Fiends, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com, freedomfiends.com. Click on the kitty cat with the computer where it says blog and just search privacy on there. And you will get our, we have tutorials on setting up encrypted email and setting up encrypted off the record messenger, which is even better because it doesn't leave a record that could later be decrypted if they get the supercomputers to do it in that data center in Utah. Now, that post about here's an actual solution, here's how to not be spied on, got like 7 shares. Instead of 700 shares complaining about the problem, I have a solution, 7 shares. What's wrong with that? And we have an advertiser who sells encrypted phones, both desktop and portable phones. And I've got one, and they're amazing. They can only call other people that have the same phones. But if you have trade secrets, businesses, you know, you don't have to be a criminal tonight. You could just want to talk to your wife and do love talk without some goon from the central scrutinizer in a cubicle in a basement office in Utah listening to you.
Right.
So there. And that's libertyprivate.net is that site. So there is one good lefty out there, if I can dare say that over the radio in the Mountain West. There's one good lefty who's not an Obama licker, who is really upset about all this, and his name is Glenn Greenwald. And the left are throwing him under the bus. Talk about Glenn Greenwald.
Well, he's the one who broke the story that's caused all this hubbub. He writes for The Guardian. He used to write for Salon, but he's been really attacking the state on private on privacy grounds, you know, civil liberties, and you know, lying us into war since I think 2005. He's a great journalist, like in the every sense of the word. And you know, people are attacking him. They're doing ad hominem personal attacks on him because they're so angry that he's exposed this horrible scandal. And they're saying things like, well, he's gay and he's probably just angry that his Brazilian boyfriend didn't give him some last
night.
So
basically the left is turning into the right because their ad hominem is sounding like Rush Limbaugh, because they're basically saying, don't listen to him, he's a gay immigrant. Man, do people really think there's any difference between the Democrats and the Republicans anymore? I mean, think about that. Marinate on that, yo.
Yeah, I sure hope they don't think that, but they probably do, because like you pointed out, there's this whole Twitter page that's not only angry at Glenn Greenwald, but saying, hey, it's okay, guys. Let's let the government look at all of our phone records. We have nothing to hide, and that's the name of the Twitter page.
Nothing to hide. Let's read a few of these. This is really a sick and twisted example of Stockholm Syndrome. You know, people who are lovey-dovey with their captors. And
yes. Well, I want to start with Matt Diaz. He says, thanks, Glenn Greenwald and Washington Post, for creating a new level of harm to national security. Quote, huge, grave damage. So there are people that are so angry that the state has its feelings hurt, that James Clapper has his feelings hurt. And he links to this MSNBC article where Director of National Intelligence says, quote, for me, it is literally, not figuratively, but literally gut-wrenching to see this happen because of the huge grave damage it does to our intelligence capabilities. So it is literally the high government official on spying saying, I've got my feelings hurt because you know what I'm doing now. It's just, I have no sympathy for him, and I don't know why anybody would have any sympathy for him.
Yeah.
And you know, Scott Horton was interviewing a guy who's been following the NSA for a long, long time. He wrote a book called Shadow Factory. I can't remember the name of the author right now. But the guy was giving a great interview, and he brought up the point that, hey, you know, the other thing is, this is counterproductive to actual intelligence. I mean, they didn't even get a whiff of, you know, the Boston bombers, the alleged Boston bombers through all this, because they're inundated with data.
Yeah, spying on everyone is not going to yield as usable results as spying on a few. If you really want to think of it from a state, you know, we love the state. The state does no wrong. They should be able to do what they want. If, you know, it's kind of the argument I have against people who say that they're conservatives. You know, really, they should be opposing war and the war on drugs. And we're not anti-self-defense. You and I walk around all day, every day with guns, okay?
Yep.
And we would shoot to stop, which usually means shoot to kill, of anyone who came to, you know, try to harm us or our family. But occupying the entire world with the police of the world, you know, spending all our money around the world trying to act like cops of the world. And think about, you know, when people say like, oh, those people are horrible, they're shooting our soldiers. Okay, this is going to really ruffle some feathers, but I'm not saying those are good people, but all you guys who sit around and watch Red Dawn, and you and I sit around and watch Red Dawn, we dig Red Dawn, reverse it, man. Think about if you were in one of those countries and an occupying army showed up, how would you feel about it? You know,
Here's another thing. It's that American exceptionalism, right? I mean, right now, the U.S. government is force-feeding prisoners in Guantanamo who have been cleared for release and are on hunger strike. The U.S. government is force-feeding them with Ensure. Now, the Soviet Union did this back in Cold War days, and the American consensus back then from the media and even the United States government was that that is torture, that yeah. force-feeding prisoners on hunger strike is torture. But when Guantanamo does it, people say they think it's okay. They don't think it's a problem.
Yeah. And the thing about American exceptionalism and my country right or wrong is it can so easily be co-opted. You know, if it was built on a conservative Republican idea, Obama's got the reins of it now. And we should read some more of these Twitter posts of Obama licking liberals saying, hey, America, man, America, you got to protect America. If you got nothing to hide, America. And, you know, this spying is going to be used to find people who are buying too much ammo, who are storing too much food, who are saying they don't like Eric Holder. That's who it's going to be used on, man. You are the enemy now. The good guys are the enemy now. And all of the posturing of America, right or wrong, patriotism, rah, 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 of the collective thinking like that is what has led to them spying on you and eventually them having a police state that eventually could and probably will be used to kidnap you and take away your guns that are legally owned right now. And they may not be able to outlaw guns as quickly as they'd like, but they can expand. They've expanded. It's all coordinated, man. They've expanded the DSM definition of, you know, mental illness now includes caffeine withdrawal, which I'm going to be going through in about 3 hours. So, you know, after this show. Yeah. So they could take my guns because I'm going through caffeine withdrawal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, why don't you read your next most offensive twatter on Twitter from Nothing to Hide?
To anyone outraged over the government's collection of phone call info, what do you have to hide? I mean, here's another one. I mean, what do you have to hide? Here's another one. If you're upset about all this, what do you have to hide? Apparently, it's become a meme. And the name of today's show, we do have names for each show. Today's show is called Public School is Catechism Classes for the God of the State. Now, catechism classes, you know, if you're Catholic or know about Catholicism, it's where you go and learn to be a good Catholic. And you learn to basically recite, and it's repetition. It means repetition. So you learn to recite the proper things to say in the Catholic Mass and in the Catholic Church. And public school does the same thing, but the God is the state.
Yep.
And they want you to say things like, what do you got to hide? They want you to say things like, but without the government, who would build the roads? What are some of the other catechisms they teach you in public school?
Without the state, we would descend into a violent, chaotic anarchy, and everybody would kill everybody all the time. Without the drug war, everybody would do drugs all the time, and no work would get done. You hear that? You hear, without somebody to put the boot to those evil capitalists, then we would all be slaves to Monsanto and Walmart. You know, that's another big one you hear, which ignores the fact that the corporation is a government legal distinction it's created by the state itself. So think about the inconsistency in that statement, in that catechism. But again, the catechisms aren't about truth or evidence or consistency or principles. It's just about a rote memorization to protect your mind from the truth.
You know, and I got a little bit of solution to inject here. People wonder, what's Ron Paul been doing since he got done being a statocrat? Ron Paul's a good guy and he's a good philosopher, and he's actually come up with the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum. If you search that on Google, he is, and it's like grade 1 through 6 is free, and then 7 through 12 is $250 a year, which is incredibly cheap for homeschooling material. And I looked it over. It looks solid, man, and it's Ron Paul is doing homeschool curriculum. How cool is that? And, you know, Wyoming is one of the, and Texas are two of the easier states to, I guess, get away with homeschooling too. You know, what we say is loopholes are the portals through which freedom passes. And I think they consider homeschooling a loophole and want to close it, but do it while you can, man.
Yeah, exactly. I will definitely be doing that. Tom Woods also has a great resource called Liberty Classroom, and of course there's Khan Academy, but we'll be back with more when we get back from the market.
Worms.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. That's badquaker.com.
Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends Live. This is our live Sunday show. It is June 9th, 2013. We've got Michael W. Dean and I am Nima V. What it do?
Hey, Nima Vidati. We talked about Ron Paul a little bit in the last segment, who we don't like politicians, and we just think he's a great philosopher. We like
his
philosophy.
He's not a politician anymore,
right? I know. So your mom used to be a public school teacher in Texas and brought Ron Paul in to speak to a bunch of grade school kids one time, we have a picture of them together. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. What year was that?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot. It was during his 2008 campaign, I think. So it might have been 2007, 2006. It was the last go-around. It wasn't this most recent go-around. But, it was Constitution Day. And apparently, according to the law, according to what my mom says about it, the school had a requirement, if they accept federal funds, to do something for Constitution Day. And nobody was pitching anything. The school didn't seem to want to do anything. And mom was like, well, how about I invite Ron Paul
Congressman, who was
our congressman, because we're in his district. How about we invite our congressman to give the kids a little assembly about the Constitution? And she ran into a lot of opposition to that. The school district did not want Ron Paul in there talking about the Constitution.
That's hilarious and really a good reason to homeschool, especially with the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum, which we are not paid to advertise. We just talk about stuff we like. Yeah, we're going to call him up today. By the way, that's the hip-hop thing. You talk about the Cavassier in your rap, and then you call the Cavassier company and say, yo, we'll keep doing this. You give us money. Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty amazing to me that they have something, you know, to please some constitutionalists who are voters, they put a thing in of we will celebrate Constitution Day in the law, and then they want to bring in your congressman to actually talk about the Constitution, and they're like, oh, not that guy, man, which really is telling about public schools and about the state and about why it's dangerous to say things and feel things like my country, right or wrong, because it gets co-opted, man. I had that experience here with, I'm not going to say who, but it was basically I talked to a state rep in Wyoming and said, you know, you should get it passed into law here. This is back when I was a minarchist, that you should get it passed into law here that they have to teach the Bill of Rights in school. And, you know, as government documents go, the Bill of Rights is important because it's the one that the laws you're going to be prosecuted for free speech under are based on. So,
but the Hamiltonians begrudgingly put the Constitution or the Bill of Rights in the Constitution as an afterthought of, okay, let's try to please these people so we better our chances for ratification.
And for more on that, read Scott Beezer's comic Quantum Vibe at quantumvibe.com, or read Boston Tea Party, a.k.a. Kenneth Royce's book, Hologram of Liberty, which is a really good book, which talks about how, you know, if you're going, hey, man, the Constitution's great, let's get back to it, you have to realize that it wasn't just written by the founding fathers as a collective unit. They weren't all of one mind. There were the founding fathers, and then there were the founding lawyers, who were the bad guys. Now, they put in weasel words in there to basically get us to where we are now and beyond. And we're going to talk, I'm teasing a little bit ahead here, but I want to get this in. We're going to talk in the second hour about how the ultimate, you know, when people talk about, well, Obama's acting like Hitler, and then people get mad. No, man. It's a little more accurate to say he's acting like Stalin in the earlier stages, or even better, the final outcome of where things are headed if not checked. And we will talk about how they could be checked peacefully in the second hour. But the final outcome of where that kind of blind patriotism leads is North Korea. And we're going to talk in detail in the second hour about why that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. the horrors of North Korea. Yeah, it's really a scary thing. And, you know, the other thing about it is you could say, okay, well, the police state is more accepted in North Korea. It's more widespread. But the United States government, the folks in D.C., have much more power to spy on us and to infiltrate people who may be in opposition to the government and to do things like what they did in Boston, which is lock down a whole city. I mean, the American state has much more technology at their disposal. Somebody has
North Korea just has a bunch of AKs. That's all they've got,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Well, somebody once said America or the United States is a turnkey totalitarian police state, i.e. if somebody just wanted to, they could turn the key, press a button, and it would be worse than your worst nightmare. It would be worse than George Orwell's 1984.
Thanks, Obama and George Bush.
Well, they said that 30 years ago. Think about how far it's progressed since then. It's much
progressive.
More so now.
It's a little more progressive, and we're talking about that in the second hour, about how to live peacefully into libertarian paradise in the future, into LibPair on the Freedom Fiends. Yeah.
And the first step is explaining to people why the police state is wrong, even if you have nothing to hide. Okay, folks? So get over it. We'll be back after this trip to the market. Peace.
Isn't that the last step, too? We'll find out on the Freedom Fiends, Hour 2, coming up next. Worms. Worms. Worms.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yo, this is Freedom Fiends Live. Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us. It is the second hour. I am Nima Vidati representing Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean, but I'll let you tell it, Michael.
This is Michael W. Dean broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild West of the occupied states of America in beautiful, sunny, downtown Beast Lick, Wyoming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it's still relatively free, but that is a matter of degrees, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of weird because Wyoming actually has more government employees per capita, you know, state, local, federal, it's, you know, UN, whatever, than any other state.
People working for the Department of Fish and Hogs.
Yeah. The people that, you know, when we're out shooting our 50 cal, they come out and say, instead of saying, "I'm going to arrest you," they come out and say, "Can I shoot that?" But you know, the police here are a little more like the police in Mexico. Well, I don't know that. In that you had an experience with the police in Mexico where they like wave at you when you're speeding past them. But that's not how it is here, man. It's not how it is here.
The speed traps where I went in Mexico on the Yucatan Peninsula was this. It was them on the side of the road barbecuing hot dogs and drinking Coca-Cola and waving to you. And there were signs up ahead of the speed traps that said, "Warning, speed checkpoint coming up in 1 mile. Reduce your speed."
I don't like tax eaters, but I would prefer it if tax eaters just – if you know, it's hard – it's a dream that we could get rid of tax eaters and taxes. But in the meantime, I wouldn't mind if tax eaters just spent their day instead of working, if they just spent it barbecuing and fishing, you know?
Yeah. Much less harmful.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of Department of Fish and Hogs and government employees, my little sisters in Salt Lake have become fond of watching Parks and Recreation. And they told me I didn't even know that that was a government function until this show. Like, that's a real thing? What?
They don't teach you in school where your money goes. They just say, without the government taking it, there would be chaos and anarchy and violence in the streets. And grandma would be eating cat food. And you'd be murdered by And just fill in the blank, you know.
Well, although Ben Stone brings up the wonderful point that it's not where it goes that even matters. It's the fact that they're taking it from you. That's the point to get angry about. And so when you sit there and complain about where the money goes afterwards, it's already too late because you've already accepted the premise that they get to take it from you in the first place.
When I lived in California, of course, I lived there a lot longer than I lived here. I lived there 20-some years, L.A. and San Francisco, and finally said, bah! And got the heck out and moved to, because, you know, basically I like guns and I like lower taxes, so I moved to Wyoming. And, you know, there's people who'd be like, you're not from here. We don't like you. But, you know, I chose this state. I didn't it wasn't an accident of birth is what I'm saying. But in California, and all the time I was there, I saw all kinds of violence. I saw muggings. I saw a guy who'd just been stabbed screaming in the street. I saw a woman get her purse snatched. I saw all sorts of government violence, of doors getting kicked in, like in person, like walking down the street or riding my bicycle or driving a car. I saw violence, you know. I saw a young, strapping 20-year-old dude punch the heck out of some like 70-year-old man and with a woman standing nearby. I think it was he was dating the granddaughter. Grandfather didn't like it, said something, and the guy just hauled off and punched him. I saw that while I was eating Thai food at a mini mall restaurant looking out the window. But, you know, the only violence I've ever seen in Wyoming was cops kicking in a door down the street from me and screaming and swearing and waving Glocks at people. And that was for a drug warrant, you know? For people that are peaceful, that had been my neighbors. I mean, I don't like them because occasionally they play loud music, but they've been peaceful. They've been peaceful neighbors, and they're gone now, and the cops came and yelled and screamed and pointed guns and threw people to the ground and took them out and took them to a cage. That's the only violence I've ever seen in this state was state violence, you know? So we want to talk about where the end game of my country, right or wrong, is. First of all, it gets co-opted. I mean, look, Obama actually stood in his first term. He actually stood in front of the Declaration of Independence, like sealed in helium, you know, to protect it from the physical paper from dissolving. He stood in front of that and took away some freedoms of the founding documents, literally. Yeah. Like he said, I'm doing this for the good of America. I don't remember what it was. He's done so many things like that. But he actually did one of them in front of the founding document he was destroying and had American flags all behind him. So whenever you have a system of my country right or wrong, it can get co-opted by people who are wrong. And you said it in the last segment, like, you know, Bush and Obama aren't good, but consider if someone like Hitler came to power, and remember, he was elected democratically. If someone like that came to power with the framework that they have now, where they can kill you without a trial, indefinitely detain you, tap your phones to find that information, you know, plant drugs on you and haul you away, all this stuff, and drones, you know, surveillance and murder drones, flying robots that kill people. Think about what the attitude of my country, right or wrong, and vote for this guy and vote for that guy. We said yesterday that, you know, whenever the left and right agree on something, it's probably wrong. The stuff that they are bipartisan on is the stuff that is out to harm you, basically.
Yep.
So the end game of that is North Korea. Yeah. And you may say that's hyperbole, but it's not, because it's just a matter of degrees. Now, I watched a documentary that I would recommend everyone go watch. It's a 2005 National Geographic Explorer documentary. You can find it on Netflix for streaming. You can watch it right now. You can watch it. If you got Netflix, you can watch it while you're listening to this radio show. It's called Inside North Korea, and it's about Lisa Ling, who's she's CNN. I don't know. She's one of those journalists who gets around. But she went into North Korea without disclosing she was a journalist. She went in with a doctor, kind of a Doctors Without Borders guy, who was going into North Korea anyway to perform cataract surgeries, to perform like 1,000 cataract surgeries in 10 days. And cataracts are a big problem there because, you know, they say in communist countries, everything's free. You know, healthcare is free, but there isn't any, basically. That's what North Korea is like. You know, I mean, you can't even pay for a doctor, and most people couldn't pay for a doctor if they wanted to, because, how about this? There is no, you know, you don't pay taxes in North Korea, literally, and they brag about that. But what that means is they take all your money. You know, you have to work, and they just give you pennies left over from your job. Right. So,
well, it's so funny because when socialists say something is free, what they really mean is it doesn't cost any currency units. But there is cost. There's opportunity cost, and obviously the biggest of those is your freedom. That's what it costs you. It still costs something. It costs the fact that you are no longer a free person. You are now a slave.
You know, there's a meme going around about the problems of socialism that's very accurate. You know, it's the thing of like, you know, everyone works, but no one has any money. You know, everything's free, but you can't buy it because they don't make it. And it's a socialist rant, but it has a picture of a hammer and sickle. And all of the state apologists are saying, man, these people don't even know socialism from communism. But there ain't that much of a difference, and it's a matter of degrees. Nah. And I would say that a lot of what goes on in America is socialism, even from the Republicans. I mean, everything that Romney was imposing or offering for his vote was everything that Obama is offering. You know, the only difference was, like, I guess on abortion. No, they were agreeing on abortion. There was very little difference in their platform, and it is socialism. So the end result of that is North Korea, and you really should watch this documentary. She went in with this doctor. Now, I'm wondering if after they, you know, North Korea found out they were making a documentary and they didn't show North Korea in a good light, I'm wondering if they killed all the people who had the eye surgery. I wouldn't be surprised. But what did happen was Lisa Ling's sister, Laura Ling, the next year was detained by North Korea. If you remember that, an American journalist was detained and tried, you know, in a court of law in North Korea and sentenced to 12 years hard labor for spying.
With due process, according to the North Korean state.
Yeah. And remember, you know, everything that happened in Nazi Germany was done with due process and within the limits of the law. And Jesus was killed by the government after a fair trial. If you're a Christian, remember this. Jesus was killed by the government after a fair trial with the cooperation of the police and the soldiers. So, Laura Ling was detained, and there was a whole bunch of wrangling of diplomatic stuff to finally get her back. But, you know, countries like to do that, and whenever there's a state, they can do that. And the thing is, in North Korea, I mean, they were curing people of blindness, basically, and they had them set up in this room, so when they took the bandages off, the first thing they saw was a painting of the Dear Leader. You know, I mean, how sick is that? Like, okay, now you can see the light. And people were saying in Korean, they had subtitles, they were saying, I am weeping with joy because I can finally see our dear leader. And I mean,
but that's even the sicker thing, though, isn't it? And you were saying that in libraries, the books were full of only books that Kim Jong-il
No, it wasn't libraries. It was
the
hotel they were staying in had a bookshelf of like 80 books. They were all supposedly written by the Dear Leader. They're probably ghost written. But I mean, they interviewed in this a guy who had been a North Korean border guard who had defected. He had snuck across, you know, the barbed wire and the bombs and the dogs to get into China. Think about that. Like, China looks like freedom if you're in North Korea.
Yeah.
And China is not freedom. But he'd snuck into China, and he's living there now, and they interviewed him, and he's basically like, he was a guard in a work camp, a concentration camp. And the particular camp he was working in was for families of dissidents. And a lot of people there are basically like, if you complain in North Korea about not getting enough food and you're starving, if you complain to anybody about that, they take you off and probably kill you. They take your family to a concentration camp for that.
Yeah.
And it was heart-wrenching. Yeah. He told stories of watching a bunch of little children fight over a piece of corn, a kernel of corn they'd found in cow droppings. And they were fist fighting over this piece of corn from cow droppings. They were that hungry. That they were starving. And that's what states do. And there is absolute patriotism and absolute my country right or wrong and absolute dear leader is God. I mean, literally, he says he's God. He says he has divine origin there. And and there's a family dynasty of it.
And, you know, one of the tools that North Korea uses more than any other to keep the people attached to that blind patriotism. Okay, yeah, there's mental health. But there's also the foreign threat. You know, that's a huge tool and trick that states and statists use to cow people into obeying
and we're the threat.
And loving the state. Yeah,
we are the threat. We are, you know, in America, it's like, oh, those Muslims are going to kill us. All Muslims want to kill us. In North Korea, it's the Americans. That's the threat that keeps everyone saying it's okay if they spy on us. And in North Korea, it's like nobody's saying, I don't care if they read my email because no one has email. Most people in North Korea don't know the internet exists. Marinate on that for a while. And to get a cell phone in North Korea, it's like getting a machine gun in America. Like, you have to apply for it. It takes 6 months. You have to pay a tax stamp. You have to get a, basically you have to get approval. You have to say, here's why I need a cell phone. Like, if you have a business where you need one, you have to prove a need to the government. Like how in some states here, you have to prove a need to get a concealed carry permit.
More.
When we get back from the free-ish market of America.
Well, it's on free to us Fiends. Right now on Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Yo, it's the Freedom Fiends live on Sunday. I am Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean over there representing Beast Lick, Wyoming.
Yeah.
The Wyo. What's up, man?
I'm right here in beautiful, sunny downtown Beast Lick, Wyoming.
Yeah. Or Lyopolis, as you call D.C. in
Lyopolis, yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah, so
man.
North Korea, we were talking about, and how believing my country, right or wrong, the ultimate, you know, where that ends up is North Korea. We're like, I mean, North Korea makes communist Russia look like a good place, because communist Russia, the average person, you know, didn't have a very happy life, but probably wasn't starving to death. The average person in North Korea is starving to death, and they do things like, I mean, even their soldiers are thin, like way, you know, not fed enough. And they'll feed some of the soldiers extra so they can get buff. And then they'll have those ones at the border. Like, they have the face, you know, facing the world. And North Korea is kind of the joke of the world. It's the little dog barking at the big dog. And everybody is like, well, if you don't like that, move to North Korea, which we say often. You know, if you love the state and you love central planning and you think the government should control everything, move, you know, move to North Korea. And I always hate it when people say, if you don't love America, get out, because you can't get out. You can't get to I want to stay right where I am because I love my country. I love this country. I love the people. I love the geography. I love Wyoming. I just want it to leave me alone. I want, what is it you say? Like, well, I shouldn't change my name. He's the one who's not very good from that movie, Office Space.
But
you know,
they're trying to be radio friendly here.
I have a theory about North Korea. So it's like, it's the joke of the world, but, and it's like, even communist Russia, like the Beatles wrote the song Back in the USSR. No one's going to write Back in North Korea singing the praises of that place. You know, it is the crap hole of the world, and it is the worst place to live, probably the worst place to live. I think it might be tied with, there's some other country that changes its name. I can't even remember because it had such a bad perception problem. What country was that? It's called something else now. But yeah, it's a bad place, bad place to be. And I was thinking about one of my theories of why states have militaries up and beyond what they need. And, you know, I'm not anti-self-defense. I've said it before. My son's in the Army, and I'm not against the idea of something to protect a geographic location. But, you know, a standing army was opposed by the good founding fathers. And a standing army is what will lead to them finally saying, you don't need to own guns. The Second Amendment was for the militia. They say that already, but they'll implement it.
Yeah.
If you believe in the military that much to where you back it right or wrong, they will take your guns away and say, you don't need them. And I was thinking about one of the reasons I think, and I've never heard this anywhere, one of the reasons I think that states have militaries is it gets to reinforce the power of the state to the members of the military by saying, the worst taboo is killing people, but if you come do this with us our way, you get to kill people. Think about that, man. Think about that.
Yeah, completely. And I hadn't thought about that before, but you're right. Because the problem with the state that we say is the root that we need to be hacking at rather than the branches, you know, all the little tyranny todays that we talk about all the time. The root is that very fact that the state gets to get away with murder, literally. That the state is considered right instead of wrong when it does wrong things. And murder is obviously the most wrong thing one can think of, you know, mass murder being even wronger than that. And so, yeah, that sort of seals the deal. That sells the point that the state is immune to the normal morality that we all impose on ourselves and impose on our neighbors, unless they work for the government and are duly ratified or whatever the quote due process is to give them the power over you to ignore normal morality.
The state wants to take your guns if they're sitting in a drawer and you never even load them. But yeah. The state wants to be able to murder people with their guns. You know, over there and on my block, you know, I mean, when they pulled guns on those potheads down the street, if those people had resisted, they would have gotten murdered, you know? So the state wants to be able to murder people with their guns, but wants to murder people. They want to murder you for having a gun in your attic that you haven't touched in 50 years, literally, let alone bearing arms, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they don't think of you as being a human individual. You're just a pawn in their foreign or domestic policy. You know, the Soviet Union people did starve to death. A lot of them. You know, maybe it didn't go on for as long. So, you know, North Korea has been around a lot longer.
That's another thing, too. Yeah.
Soviet Union collapsed.
You know, the average person, Hitler was horrible. And I'll never say anything. I won't even say at least he made the trains run on time, which is the usual apologist thing. Because he did that by murdering people who let the trains be late. And but the average person, the average government-loving person who wasn't Jewish under Hitler was not starving to death. And like you said, like, don't believe there's not a tyranny just because you're still going to work into Starbucks. I mean, in Iraq, at the worst parts of it, people, you know, the people who were compliant went to work and went to restaurants.
Bar.
Yeah. So we'll be back with some redemption after this.
Hopefully,
if there is any.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Oh, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Sunday Show. Yeah. Here, starting off the bottom of hour two, we'd like to welcome all our listeners, and we got Michael W. Dean doing his best Beavis impression over there. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
Yeah, people have said that Ben Quaker is the professor at the Libertarian College, and you and I are Beavis and Butthead cutting up in the back of his classroom.
I think you said that.
People are saying.
You are a people, so I
have confirmation. Wait, I could call myself on my secure phone, because I have two of them, and then I could say, yes, I have confirmation. You said that it made internal dialogue obsolete, because I was calling myself to test a phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go. So sometimes we like to, when we spit out a lot of tyranny, we like to wash it down with some redemption water. You know, it's kind of light today, but we've got a few things here that are
barely redemption. The state did something funny, and it's basically Washington State. And when we say the state, we don't mean Wyoming or Texas or, you know, we mean all of it, all governments, the idea of governments. And here we mean the state of Wyoming, or Washington, which has legalized pot, sort of. You know, they legalized it and made it government controlled.
Yeah.
You know, they want to put a bunch of taxes on it, and they want to. Colorado and Washington passed it by basically saying, "Well, we'll tax it and use the money to go after hard drug users." It's just a matter of degrees, man. And hard drugs shouldn't be a legal issue; they should be a medical issue. Honestly,
yes,
which we don't,
or a personal issue, and whatever. Yeah.
But by that, we don't mean the state should pay for rehab or anything like that. We mean, you know, you don't need the state for rehab, man. There's been meetings down the street where at the church, in the church basement, you know,
that are much more effective than any kind of state program, and also won't rat you out for having guns.
Although they might change that. Man, if they tried to get Obamacare into 12-step programs, that'd be really interesting, because a lot of,
I think there'd be a fight, and I don't think AA programs or 12-step programs would allow the state. I mean, it's against the traditions of them, right? They wouldn't allow an interloper to control it.
It'd be an issue of whether that would be dealt with by the World Conference, or whether, which moves kind of slowly, or by individual meetings, because there is a tradition of each meeting is, you know, can make its own rules if it doesn't affect the fellowship as a whole. So who knows how that would go, you know, maybe, but the free market would take care of it. You'd have the state meetings and the non-state meetings.
Yeah. So and I think everybody would avoid the state meetings, and they wouldn't get donations, and they wouldn't be self-sufficient.
Yeah. And the market would fire them. That's my new term I came up with in passing yesterday. But you pointed out, we do that sometimes. One of us says something in passing, and the other's like, man, that's meme worthy. The market will fire you. And that's true. Yeah. Like, when you don't have government control on things, and people say, you know, when people criticize libertarians and conservatives for saying the free market would take care of that, you know, they laugh at us. They're like, that sounds like you're saying you'd sprinkle fairy dust on it and everything would be perfect. And really, we think that's what relying on the state leads to. It's imaginary thinking that they can control everything and make it work.
Well, because the state is based on violence, and how often do you get good results? Or the state's based on aggression. How often do you get good results for going and beating somebody into submitting to your will? Yeah. I mean, do you go into the grocery store and beat up the clerk so you can take the product? No.
Or beat up the clerk to take Coke, or beat up the people in the aisle and say, you must take Pepsi, not Coke.
Yeah. You know, you don't do that. No.
That would create a black market for what Coca-Cola. They want to pay for.
It sure would. Yeah. No, so when we say the market, we mean people voluntarily choosing things. And people voluntarily choosing things always produces better results than
Not just one person dealing with another. The market can lead to things that are huge, like many brilliant minds coming together, like with Linux computing.
Yeah.
Many brilliant minds came together and made something amazing, which is really surprising to me, because I'm looking at another article on this page we're about to talk about, but I haven't gotten around to yet. GNU founder Richard Stallman says cloud computing is a trap. And I could have told you that years ago. I'm like, you know, I don't want to pay money to store my stuff on a server somewhere else, you know. But it's kind of interesting that he helped create Linux. He was one of the holy trinity of Linux. And he is a straight up Stallmanist. He is a straight up socialist. Stalinist. He calls himself a socialist. He doesn't like Obama, which is cool. He doesn't like war. But he thinks that everything needs to be, you know, centrally planned, when he helped invent Linux, which is not centrally planned, and it's huge and it's brilliant. Okay.
And that's why it's resilient. That's totally why it's resilient, is because its foundation is open source. So anybody who sees a problem can fix it. Imagine that. You know, and that's basically the big failing of not only the state and governments, but also giant corporations like Microsoft. They're built on a foundation of central control and centralization of the authority and the power. And that's why they're not resilient. They're slow to respond, and the only tool they have is aggression.
Yeah, and we were going to talk about how Microsoft now wants to not sell you software. They want to rent it to you and have it delivered over cloud computing, which I don't like, because they can cut it off. And, you know, I want my computers to work. I have unlimited power, universal, uninterrupted power supplies for our show. Like, if our power went off right now but the internet didn't, we'd still be doing a show over radio. Yeah. And with cloud computing, if the internet goes down, your games ain't going to work. So it's really putting too much control in their hands. But what we want to talk about is Washington State's sniffer dogs are being retrained to ignore pot and focus on hard drugs. This is such a great example of the state and its silliness. And like, well, they passed a law, so now we have to untrain mammals to do what we trained mammals to do. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's about it. Well, it looks like, according to the Guardian article, like what they're doing is they're getting new dogs. Like, I guess they can't teach old dogs new tricks.
Well, that was a problem after the Berlin Wall came down, was they had all these German shepherds who were the original attack dogs and cop dogs. Yeah. Of the Nazis, you know, and the Russians had them there too. Basically, they had a bunch of dogs that were trained to kill on contact that they didn't know what to do with after communism supposedly ended. And basically, you know, they didn't want to kill them. So basically, they had to put them in cages and feed them until they died of old age.
Force feed them. Yeah.
No, like they just fed them. They just fed them. Okay. Like animal rights groups got involved and like took care of them. The free market, the market took care of it. And people basically took these vicious killing dogs who couldn't do anything else because they'd been beaten their whole lives and starved and trained to kill, and just put them in cages and threw a stake in and said, good doggy. Well, it went, and, you know, just let them do that until they died of old age. Because you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but you can teach a statist to not be a statist. There's two theories on that. One is that you can teach liberty, and the other is people are either born as wanting to rule and comply, or they're born wanting to be free and not rule. And we are the latter. And Ben Stone says that libertarians aren't born. They just recognize. They hear the concepts of liberty and go, that's me. That's how I felt my whole life. And they want to learn more. Right.
I kind of buy it if it's a little bit more nuanced. I'd be more likely to buy, you know, libertarians or statists are made in early childhood development, and there might be certain genetic markers or proclivities to lean one way or the other.
I think they're a different species, dependent. Man. I think that there's
I don't know.
What did I say? Homo tyrannus and Homo libertitis. Libertitis.
Maybe. Yes, an inflamement of the liberty. but no, I think that a lot of it is dependent on how you grow up. I think Molyneux, you know, I don't agree with everything he says, but I think there's something to the idea that if you teach a child the language of submitting to violence and tell your kid things like, do as I say, don't do as I do, and when the kid asks a question on why he shouldn't do something, you say, because I said so, and then you hit him, that teaches him to respond to the language that the state uses, which is basically that. It's do as we say, doesn't matter how you feel about it, and if you don't do as we say, we will be violent towards you.
And then there's the other hand. You know, I'm not for beating kids, and that's a weird thing about conservatives who are God-loving, and a lot of them are like, man, spare the rod, spoil the child, and that those hippies don't beat their kids. That's the problem with the world today. But you know, I've seen the other hand too, where I've seen hippie parents who are so passive-aggressively like, okay, well, it's all right that you punched grandma. And I'm not saying they should beat the kid, but they're so they can be so well, the other
entitlement
direction.
Is statism too, right? Because that's the other wing of statism.
They
is
think
sitting
you're
there
entitled
with your hand
to hit grandma. Yeah.
Right. Well, expecting the state to provide for all your needs from cradle to grave, that's the other end of the extreme. And I don't think that that's what libertarians want when they want to raise their kids as free people either. No, you negotiate with your kids and you teach them how market interactions work. And, you know, I don't think you just sit there and cow before your kids and let them walk all over you.
Yeah.
You are an individual and you let them know that they are an individual and you guys talk and negotiate about what happens instead of just giving your kid everything he wants.
And you need to take them out of public school if you're going to have any chance of them being reasonable human beings, because you can't teach good values when a kid is going to school and being told, you know, they don't teach you like even how to balance a checkbook anymore in school. They teach you how to vote to get people to point guns to steal stuff for you.
I think it's possible, maybe less so than it was 10 or 20 years ago. But the problem is a lot of parents, I think, just put all of the responsibility on the school. Like they don't really take an active role in helping to shape their kids necessarily.
You know, there's a
if
saying,
the state is primary, then the kid is going
to
be a statist.
There's a saying, if you can't feed them, breed them. And my wife actually said that to a couple that was counting their food stamps and holding up the line in Walmart in front of her. And I wasn't with her, but the guy got up in her face and looked like he was about to hit her. And some tall Wyoming cowboy stepped up and said, the lady's right. And the guy backed off, which some could say is me not protecting my wife, but I was doing a radio show and she was out shopping. So that, and a good Wyomingite stepped in and protected her, which is good because people look after their neighbors here, even if they don't know them sometimes. And I like that. But if you can't feed them, don't breed them. If you can't feed them, don't breed them. But if you can't teach them, don't breed them. Don't have kids and dump them on the state, which is what a lot of people do now. And it really, it's bad, man.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But again, I'd like to say that the real villain there is the system. It's the state. It's not the individual. And if you want to talk about a drain on the system, it's much more so the big corporate special interests and the purveyors of death-dealing bombs and F-35s that can't fly in the rain. It's those people that fleece us on a level that vastly is orders of magnitude bigger than any or all of the welfare moms combined in the history of the world.
And we're
like
not
that.
anti-capitalist, but that's not capitalism. That is corporatism,
no,
which
not.
Is capitalism with the government in its pocket in both directions, with, you know, protecting it by laws, getting rid of the competition, stealing tax money to build all those things. And giant corporations, as people can, like the 99, the Occupy Wall Street people complain about, they don't understand capitalism is good. Corporatism is what they should be occupying. And they are pretty much occupying corporatism, but they don't see the difference. And they don't see that there's nothing wrong with selling things and even making a lot of money at it. It's a good thing. And it's if you want to say that's what America is and used to be, it kind of is in a way. That's what's good about America, I think, is but you can't do it anymore, man.
Here's what it is capitalism is synonymous with freedom. All it is freedom. Statism is synonymous with the opposite of freedom. It's the antonym of freedom. And so, if you have the state and capitalism together, then they don't mix and you don't have capitalism anymore. And we'll be right back after we go and engage in some.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah, welcome back, Freedom Fiends. It is Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. And we'd like to welcome our new listeners. Thank you for staying with us, you folks in Wyoming and South Dakota, listening on KBFS 1450 AM and KYDT 103.1 FM, the Country Twins. Thank you so much. And at the end of our
They are Wyoming and South Dakota and Montana.
And Montana, my bad.
All good
Montana.
Places. All places that really should just kind of like take away from the rest of the country and just go. I'm just saying it would make a nice nation. This whole like strip, you know, a little bit to the left of Tornado Alley. If you just took Tornado Alley size strip right to the left of it, that could be a great little, I don't even like to use the word nation, but it could be a great
region.
Great place to live, man.
Region.
It is a great place to live.
All right, great. But at the end of our time here, we like to do the Fiends Tweak and Review, where we go over some of the basic points we made today. Number one, if you don't want to hide your information, fine. Then tell everybody it all the time. I do have stuff that I like to keep private, and I'm sure there are others who are with me here, and it's all peaceful, legal, quote-unquote, stuff. So you have no right for me to be involved in the same kind of information sharing as you. So why have a state that listens to all of our phone calls and reads all of our emails?
And man, why be collectivist cool. saying, I don't care if you got nothing. Basically, they're saying they want to share everything and let Obama and Eric Holder in their bedroom. But why should they say that we should want that just because they should want that?
Exactly.
Collectivism,
that's
100%. Man. It's horrible. That's our main enemy here on the Freedom Fiends is collectivism.
It really is. It really is. And speaking of which, North Korea, that's, you know, the epitome of collectivism. And it's the end result of having faith in the state. In North Korea, they literally have faith in their leader as ordained or even God himself. You know, when people get cured of their blindness, the first thing they see is a picture of dear leader. And they cry that they have finally now gotten to see that great man with their own eyes. And this is a place where there is no commerce to speak of, completely isolated from the economy of the world. People starve to death. Kids fight over kernels of corn that they find in cow dumpings. It's just a horrible place. And that all results from collectivism and from putting your faith in the idea of the state, the idea that a minority or even one person gets to decide whether the other people live or die, how much of the fruits of the labor those other people get to keep or don't keep, and what those other people can or can't do. North Korea is the result of that. America, the United States government, is just lesser in degrees, although they are more powerful. They are the turnkey tyranny, and you know that key is at least to the accessory position right now. You know, the lights are on and the radio's on. We'll see if the engine powers up here pretty soon. All right, point number three. Don't beat your kids, but also don't let them beat you. You know, you brought up the point of, you know, you don't want to end up with kids that just think they're entitled to everything, because that's the language of statism, too. It's that you put your hand out and that the authority figure or the powers that be all of a sudden puts a hamburger in that hand or cash in that hand or whatever the case is. So there's a middle ground, not even a middle ground. It's just realizing that each person's an individual. The parent is an individual. The child is also a human being, an individual who doesn't deserve to be aggressed upon. The non-aggression principle also applies to the kid.
Think how scary it would be if someone three times your size raised their fist to you. That's a kid looking at you.
Right. But at the same time, don't give the kid everything he wants just because he exists.
Absolutely.
You know, negotiate. And if he wants more things that you have no reason to give him, say, hey, well, I'll trade with you. You know, if you clean your room every night, then you'll get this new thing.
And
stuff like that.
And teach him yourself. Don't dump that on the state, because they're going to teach him to hate you and love the state. They will teach them to put the state before you. If you can't feed them, don't breed them. But also, if you can't teach them, don't breed them.
Ah, yes. Super important point. You know, don't just have kids and think that the state will take care of it completely for you. You know, and I really think that the system is the problem. It's not people gaming the system, because if the system exists, it's in people's self-interest to take advantage of it. Get rid of the system of welfare and public schools is the real solution. Because before those things, people did. They were forced by the market, by the reality of the situation, to feed their kids and to teach their kids. And that's it for the Freedom Fiends. Thank you so much, folks. I'm Nima Vidotti. Michael Dean, take us out.
What do you want me to take you out with? Just telling you how great it is to be alive in Wyoming, and I love it. It's great. It's a beautiful day here in sunny downtown Casper, Wyoming, which is my actual location. And
thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.